what the Lord has for us tonight. And I'm going to tell you this. Don't be ashamed tonight. Whatever your need is, I heard that sister stood tonight. She testified and she said, a lot of you may not know me, but she stood because the Lord dealt with her tonight. If the Lord deals with you tonight, just listen to him. That's all I can say. That's all I can say. There's an altar up here that he'll meet you in. He knows your name. Give him right on mind, God.
To say good evening to everybody. This is How You Prayers, Church. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn with us, the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel. There may be quite a bit of reading here, but I don't want you to hear me. You listen to what God, what He's allowed these men, encouraged them by the Spirit led them to write, not because of me or because you do know me. I'd rather you not be able to see me. But let's for just a little while, I've thought about this a lot. It'll get down in here to what God has laid on our heart about proving some things. But let's instead of sitting here thinking that we're here on our own good pleasure, let's try our best by the authority of God to set our flesh aside and let's dwell again amongst one another in spirit and in truth. Let's receive that God sends to us. And if it finds fault in our life and God allows a place of repentance, don't be stiff on it. But let's move up. I'm not saying that to preach results. God knows my heart. I'm not. I'm a children of God. The Word of God will find its lodging place. And it's our job what we do with it. That's part of proving some things in our life as David did over here. As he went before them, fighting the Philistines, and we'll get to it in a moment. But David went to him as a ruddy lad. The Word of God said that Satan had a beautiful countenance about him, and that was all he was goodly to look upon. And children of God, that's what I want God to see. When he looks down at little old me, I want him to see that goodly countenance, which is Jesus Christ. That's what I want my people to see, church. That's what I want our lost people to see. When they look down, I don't want them to see me by my stature or maybe what I am able to do. But when they see me, I just want them to see God in my life, church. I want to prove that in my life and it be evident that they would realize where they stand and that they would move before it's too late. Youngs, bear with us just a little while. This may be just a little bit of reading, but that'll be all right. Youngs, bear with us. We're going to start there in the 20th verse of that 17th chapter of 1 Samuel, if we didn't already say that. Bible says, "And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defile, Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this love? Now listen to this. This is just, let's remember, this is nothing more than a ruddy lad. One that, as that word ruddy means to blush, have blood in the face. How that's something that was different about everybody else. How he may have been small in stature, but he had something that they didn't have. And that was the Spirit of God in his life. How God was with little old David over here. How back in the next chapter you can read, where God sent Samuel down to Bethlehem to anoint him a king. That he had said, and when little old David had came forward, I've got only to take the horrible and to rise up and to anoint him, for this is he. Let's think on this, church. This is one maybe that wasn't big to look upon, but he had the Spirit of God. You may think that you're nothing big or to look upon in the sight of a great tempter, or in the sight of a great tribulation. But you listen to little old David here, or the faith that he had in the living God. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And listen at this, church. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Amen to God. Church, that is a question tonight that we each one need to be asking ourselves and applying it to our own lives. Is there not a cause to continue on? Is there not a cause to prove some things in our life that our people would say, I'm not living God, that even the champion Philistine would fall in that we could be more than conquerors, church. Oh yes, we heard we're going to face tribulations and persecutions, afflictions. This is not why God laid this on our heart. We had already been studying this, church. This is just God sending something to us as assurance to us that there is still a way.
Amen.
Young boy with us, we're trying our best to take our time. 30th verse, and he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be, church, shall
Amen.
Be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, and listen to this, church, This goes right back to what God said this morning. If you don't think that God done this for a purpose, how you're dead wrong. I want us to understand just the same as Paul was out in the scripture this morning. David is here. How that same God that delivered Paul, how as he did in 2 Timothy, is the one that delivered David right here. Amen. After what he faced.
Amen.
Thank you, God.
Amen.
David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And now listen at this, church. Saul was the king in Israel at this time. Now he had been refused by God because of his works, because of his disobedience. And he sent David to be king. But I want us to listen right here. What Saul tried to do. He tried to give David his own armor. Church, a lot of the times we get impatient and we want to give our people our own armor. And it'll not work like that. Say, preacher, why is that? We'll read it. I don't want to miss nothing. 38th verse. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. That is as far as we'll read for right now. We may go a little further. But there's a few things, church, that God has laid on our heart. Here in all of this scripture that we've read. One of the questions I want us to individually ask ourselves, as God did me, as you begin to trouble, don't fight the command of God. Don't receive this first and foremost. Is there not a cause? I want that to ring continually in your ears. And the next question that should be ringing is, what have I proved in my life? Church, this makes it personal. Each individual one of us, it goes to me. It goes to you and everyone else. It's not for this group or that group. It's individual. And what have we proved in our life? Say, well, preacher, I'm there every time the doors is open. That's good. But that's not proven. Preacher, I give this much money in the offering plate, or I've helped this many people out there. That's not what this is talking about either. When's the last time in our life that we have proved our faith in a living God? When is the last time that we have shown true faith to a lost and dying world? Preacher, that's harsh, no it ain't. This is love, church. Every bit is. Why do you think God would send what he sent here today? Let's just take that for example. Because he loves us. He desires for us to prove some things. He wants to see us overcome the persecutions and afflictions. He wants to see deliverance in our lives. Oh, thank you, Lord. Just bear with us. And Saul loved David. No doubt, church, your pastor loves you. No doubt I love you, church, and I pray them to know that. No doubt them to love one another. But if I try to give you my armor and my chain of mail and my sword, it'll be no good to you because you've not proved mine. I can't prove yours. It's individual, church. It's got to be made personal. It can't be because of this one or that one. It has to be personal. What did David say? He essayed to go, if that's how that word's pronounced. And if you look up that definition, it means that he slacked to go. Why
Why is that? He knew Saul's armor didn't last, so he's going to do nothing for him. He knew he hadn't proved that. He knew that that was not his. Oh, thank you, God, BMC Church. Maybe where God is trying to show us in this. How do you see how it has to be? A personal individual, as we heard our Wednesday night, how about the tree in the vineyard? Our church has got to be because we have proved faith in our own lives. You can go to church your whole life and die and go to hell because you've tried to prove it by somebody else. There's a lot of people, church, who when they go through persecution and tribulation and affliction, tries to prove it by somebody else. That's not so, though, church. We sung that song. I thank God for the mountains. I thank God for the valleys. I thank God for the storms He's brought me through. That makes it personal, Matt. That leaves everybody else out. And that I face, that makes it personal. That not even my wife can face. That not even my son can face on my behalf. But I'm thankful because the God of heaven thought enough of me that He's delivered me through it. Church, that right there ought to prove some faith in our life. I bet our people would say, because that's what they're watching, is if we have real faith. It was mentioned this morning. Say, preacher, y'all over the place. No, I promise you it ain't. It was mentioned this morning. We're saved by faith through grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. Might it leads me out of it. David knew that he wasn't able to smite and to slew that bear or that lion. He told Saul, he said, the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine, he knew, church, because there had been some proven done in his life. There was some real faith down in David's life because he had been there and done that, if you'll have it that way. Preacher, why did you mention this? They're not a cause. Why do you think David went down there to begin with? He loved Israel. He loved his people. And he loved his brethren. He loved those brothers that was over there. And he wanted to see them have that same ungodly countenance about them. Would you not say so, church? Since God saved you, do you not desire to see the lost people saved? Say, well, preacher, I don't always. Oh, I'm just being honest and not being harsh. I'd be a checking up because I know the God that saved my soul for the love that is in me. I'm for whosoever, it don't matter how rotten or how wretched or how sinful they are, the same blood, seedy ground sweat that covered me, covered them.
Amen.
You have to pray just a little while, church. If you knew how troubled I've been over this right here, church, this needs to be some proof done in our life. Say, preacher, why? What's it worth? You want to know what it's worth? Let's see a little bit. Right there, church, is a cause. Right there, that is why I should be proving some things in my life. That is my job right there, to live in front of this young man, to prove it before him, that he would know the real thing. That when he comes to that age, that he may be able to try the spirits and know which one be of God, that he'd not be easily persuaded, and that when the Philistine comes against him, how the same God will deliver him.
Amen.
That's a reason, church, to go on. Thank you. Say, preacher, you're doing that because that's your son. No, ma'am, no, sir. Don't want to see him have a yes. But you take this little one here, ma'am. You take these other children. You've got a grand onion, Judy. Amen, church. Those little ones that we know, that we desire to see heaven, the same as I do, my son. Why? Because God has proved some things in my life.
Amen. Amen.
Church, there's been buyers come up against us all. There's been lions come up against us all. And I'll say this, if you tried to fight them in yourself, they would have killed you. Oh. But if you'll do the same as him, and that's what David just said. Now get ready in this. But if you go before him, and by witness. Forty-fifth verse. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord. Oh, thank you, God of hosts. The God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. Church, that's how we prove some things. How are we coming before the Philistines? Are we doing it in ourselves with a spear and with a shield and with a sword? Or are we coming to it in the name of the Lord of hosts?
Amen. Amen.
Preach, that's rough. No, church. This ain't rough. It's serious. It's life or it's dead, church. There is no in between. One of those armies had to lose that battle.
Yeah.
There was no draw. And the children of Israel were sore afraid. Said that when he came that they fled, they was afraid, sore afraid.
Yeah.
But what did little old David say? He told him, he said, he told Saul, the king, he said, let no man's heart fail him, for thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. Oh, thank you, God. You know why that dear sister back there testified the way that she did? Because they were some children, the same as David, that came before him and was willing to stand in the stead. Because they had been some proven men in their life. That's why they let you know there's a prayer. Because they know that God will deliver you. Why do you think, church, there's no quitting place in this? We know God will deliver. Oh, it's easy to get discouraged.
Yeah.
It's easy to begin to get afraid. Church, just remember, though, your sword, your spear, your shield, your own natural self cannot do it. But let's remember the Lord of hosts. Who can do it? Who's already given us victory? Who's out there with us all along? Do you not think that David was persuaded in that? Thank you, God. The definition of faith. I know we didn't read it, but there's something God had on our heart. Us proving our faith. Do you know what the word faith means, the definition? Man, it means persuasion. What is it if I'm persuaded? There's no doubt. And this little young man here in this morning, how about in God will I put my trust? Young man, you hold it there. You elders of the church, you hold it there. And because there's some persuasion in this God of heaven. He's never let us down yet, and he's not going to start down. And the church, you cleave unto it. Uproot it in your life. That our people would see him in all of his glory. Preacher, it feels like they're kicking it back in my face. Remember the question, is there not a cause? Oh, it's easy to want to give up when they're kicking it. Then you mentioned how long you've been praying. For that granny and that papa. Up from 12-year-old up to your late 30s into your 40s. But was it not worth it when there was some proof come through? When the very God of heaven, the It's worth it.
Yeah.
Oh, David told him, right on down past where we just read, he said, this day you'll be delivered in my hand.
Yeah.
He was proved. He was sure of it. He was persuaded that God was going to deliver. Why would he not? God had proved himself to him over and over and over. Community Chapel, do you think that just here recently, or even in the take the past 5 years, do you think that that's really the start of when Satan, the champion of the Philistines, come before to find us, trying his best to tear us down? Do you think that's the start of it? No. Said that he was a man of war from his youth. Oh, Saul was concerned for David. Said, you can't go up against him. You're but a youth. Children of God, I want you to understand something tonight. You may be of a youth. You may not be up to where you're eating the meat yet. You may still be as the babe, desiring the sincere milk. I don't know where you're at. And it's not for me to say. But wherever you are, even if you're of a youth, be not dismayed. Don't you get discouraged. There is deliverance in this man named Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. It gets real now, the church.
Yeah.
Is there not a cause?
Yeah.
Judy, you mentioned objects you've got a lot. You've got children. Is there not a cause? Mark Carter, you mentioned your people. How you mentioned those boys you work with. Is there not a cause? Brother, you mentioned that lady that you're working around. And her brother-in-law just passed away. Is there not a cause, church? I would say, yeah, that there is. And it's time that they start seeing of the proof of the living God all around us. David told him, he was saved, he slain, didn't want to. He said, for I have not proved it. And he told Saul, I ain't going to quote it wrong. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. Church, have we proved some things in our life? Has there been true proof of what we're trying to wire tonight in the house of the living God? Or have we showed up in some strange armor? Have we showed up? Mark mentioned in Sunday, this is how God works, church. Mark mentioned in Sunday school about the prodigal son. One of the fathers seen him, said he seen him afar off. That he had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And what did he order him to do, Mark? Not just get any old robe. He said, get the best robe. And what was next after that? He told him to get him the ring. And what was after that? He said, get the fatted calf. Why, church? Because this, my son, was dead, but now is alive. That's the same way we can see our people, church. But we've got to prove some things in our life. They have to see real faith, a true faith, unmovable in this. Church, they can't see us being wishy-washy. I don't know if I can find it, but just bear with me just a moment. Right here. You ain't got a turn, but it's one verse in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. This, church, is why it's so important to prove some things in our life. 14th verse says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Children, you want to know, we hear it a lot, and we hear so many different things. I say, well, preacher, I don't understand. I don't know what I ought to believe. I believe the writer Paul wrote, if you want sound doctrine, I to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Preacher, why is that? Because it works.
Amen. Amen.
It delivered David over here, Dean Rice. It delivers Isaac Woody in 2024, church. It's real.
Amen.
That's something you can prove in your life.
Yeah.
That we heard about this morning, those persecutions, those trials, those afflictions that comes up. Why do you think Paul wrote, but through all of these, God delivered me?
Yeah.
Why do you think that is, church? It was proved in his life. Why do you think that they hated him? Because he was different. They seen what he had and it went against what they had. And they wanted rid of him. They thought that they'd kill him out. But they didn't, did they? You can read over here about David. In the very next chapter, I've been reading a lot of David. I encourage others to. Not because I said it, but because it's good, church, and it'll help you. If you'll let it. But as they come back from the battle with the Philistines, the women of the city come out and was crying to Saul thousands and to David and his 10,000. And what did it do? It said that it made Saul wroth in his own self. He was mad. Though saying it said that it unpleased him. I believe that's how it's worded. And he told him. He got him over there, David, playing the harp. And as he began to play the harp, it said that Saul had a javelin in his hand. And said, Saul said to himself, I'll kill him. Even pin him to the wall with this javelin. But what? I ain't going to misquote the church. Preacher, you're reading a whole awful lot. Well, let's get serious about it, church. Let's get under it. Let's let it prove us just a little while. Let's get rid of the traditions of what we consider a church service. And let's come in here with some proof in our own life. And watch God begin to work, church. Do we want to see them Molly in here? We're going to have to prove some things. Do we want to see those children in here? We've got to prove some things. Brother, do you want to see them children are saved when it's their time? We've got to prove some things. You give me just a moment. Ninth verse of the 18th chapter. You ain't got to turn. And saw I David from that day forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. But listen at this, church. Thank God that delivered him over there out of the hand of the Philistine, out of the paw of the bear, out of the paw of the lion. You're getting ready to see where he delivered him twice out of the hand of Saul. One that said that he loved David. And at first, I believe he truly did. I believe he did honestly, church. Said that he loved him greatly. But David was different. He had that beautiful countenance about him. Made Saul mad at himself. You see here, church, how that so many people's trying to do this by what they're doing in their own lives. And David was over here just proving the goodness of God. He was showing and proving true faith in his life. And that was the difference. Saul was trying to do it by what he was capable of. The armies he took over. What he was capable of in his own self. But David said, And David avoided out of his presence twice. We face persecution, yes. We face tribulation, yes. We face afflictions, oh yes. We heard it this morning and you're going to hear it tonight. Not because I'm trying to copycat, but because this is what God has laid on my heart. If you'll stay with it, if you'll prove it in your own life, then you'll see the same deliverance these men did. It's easy, church, to look out there and see the wickedness that there is. But you want to know what's even greater? Even in the face of the champion, he was a big man, church. Massive man. And David was but a youth. I don't know how big David truly was, but you picture a young like Miss Olivia right here. I'm not calling her out, but you take one of their youth. And you take one of these men that's far bigger than I am. Daniel's quite a bit taller than me. Daniel's a few inches taller than me. You take these big old men. And you take a certain little like Miss Olivia right here going against them. You would look and say there's no way. But you want to know what he was possessing the entire time. He had God with him. And knew that with God he would never fail. Oh, even the champion of Gath, the Philistines of Gath. Oh, he sent out a man with a shield before him. Well, what does it tell us to do as the children of God? Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to withstand all the fiery darts of the wicked. Children of God, our faith, it is important to prove some things that they would ever see God in our life. That's how David defeated the champion of the Philistines. Church, that's how right now, in 2024, we're seeing a lot of things come up against the church. It does concern me then for my youngin, even when he gets to my age, what he's going to see. But you know what? I want him to be a toting in that little shepherd's bag. I want him to be toting God with him everywhere. Because with him, church, he'll be able to prove some things. And he'll not fail in the face of the Philistine. But he'll be delivered the same as you and I have been. The same as those that went on before us has been proved. It's by God and God alone. You know what I can do, church? Nothing. You know what I'm worthy of tonight? Nothing. But you know what he gave me? Because he loved me, he gave me everything that I need. He's the one that's worthy of praise. He's the one that's worthy of honor. He's the one that's worthy of being proved. We heard it this morning. I'm not going back on it. This is just how God works. We heard this morning, if your dear pastor, God lifts his burden and sends him somewhere else, you don't stop. You're not proving being right. No offense to him as much as I. You're not proving Isaac Woody. No man, no sir. We've got to be proving God in our life. And that faith, that's what will cause us to overcome. That's what causes us to be different, to be peculiar, to be ruddy, and have a beautiful countenance. That's, thank you, God. That's the reason we're still in this way, church. That's why David was persuaded. Told his own brother over there, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? On down in there told Saul. He said, I've not proved it. Church, is there not a cause to be proven some things? Would you not say that there is? I'd say yes. We see a people, church, that is defying the armies of the living God. They are making a mockery of the living God and how scary it is even for them to do that. But you know what we can do? We can prove some things in our life that they would see. What do you think our lost people sees in us, church? Our faith. think that they know whether or not it's real math. I had a lost man one time. I was running from God. I was running from the calling of the priest, Lord of God. I was running, I had a man walk up to me. And he said, Isaac, he said, what's happened to you? I said, nothing's happened to me. What are you talking about? He said, you don't seem as happy as you used to. He said, you don't seem like your faith is as strong as it used to be. And church, that broke me. God help me ever to be proven my faith before lost and dying world, that they would see the deliverance that there is and this man named Jesus. Do you not think that? Oh, thank you, God. And to bear witness, this may be a lot of reading, church. Normally I don't get to, normally it's just a few verses. That's all my little mind can comprehend. And I'm not saying I comprehend all this, but this is what God's given me, church. And bless my soul to be able to read what God has laid on my heart. And furthermore, for me to move up with God and begin to prove some things in my own life. Bear with me if I can find this. Give me one moment. I know it's right here. Oh, yeah, right here. Thank you, God. Right past where we read about Saul trying to kill him with the javelin. 13th verse. Says, therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. And the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But listen at this. But all Israel and Judah loved David. Because he went out and came in before them. Church, he was proving it before those people. That's why they were. It wasn't because of who David was. They seen what he was proving in this man named Jesus. They seen his faith real in the God of heaven. And they knew if he would deliver him, he would deliver them. That's what our people's got to see, church. They're the same as you and I. They see the champion. They see that massive man. But you can read in the 16th chapter. I know we're going back and forth a lot, church, but this is how God gave it to me. You can read over there how the Lord told Samuel. Because as Eliab, I believe is how that's pronounced, came before Samuel, Samuel said, surely this is he that's Lord anointed. And the Lord told him not to look on his countenance or upon the height of his stature. He said, for God don't see his majesty. Man looketh to the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. Children of God, we may see some giant out. I'm telling you, church, you think that this wasn't for me? I'm telling you, I faced battles this week. Church, I was ready to lay it down and give up. Thought there's no way. And God brought this by. That's why I said, how did God allow us through this morning? How about us hitting a place where I see I can go no further? But God showed me that there is deliverance in him. That's why David was persuaded. That's why Paul was persuaded. That's why I am persuaded, church. And that's why we have to be. Because even in the face of a giant, I carry something with me, Mark Harbour, that no man can take from me. I carry something early in Maul that no man can do for me. But this man named Jesus, C.D. Grimes, staff, the one that has given you a burden for these young people and for your children, is the same God that delivers us through our darkest valleys. And I was ready to give up. I said, "No, what have I now done?" And he said, "Son, is there not a cause?" He let me once again see our objects that we've been praying for. He let me see that dear little child, church. That is my responsibility. But you know what? The burdens is too. That's natural. If I don't take care of him, if I don't tend to him, he'll perish. Our people, church, if we don't prove it, if they don't see it in our life, you know what they're going to do? They're going to perish. But if they see us proving God, how do we prove him? By our faith. He's not failed us yet, has he, church? He delivered Paul over there as they were stoning him. He delivered Stephen in such a way that Stephen, I believe the Word of God says, that he had a glow about him and that he fell asleep. He looked up into heaven and fell asleep. Do you not think he was proven faith? Boy, that faith was real too. He was persuaded. He knew. Do you not think Paul was, as he was first killed, ended up being killed, I believe it was in Rome, if I'm not mistaken. Simon Peter told him he wasn't even worthy to be crucified like Jesus was, but to crucify him upside down. He was persuaded that he was not worthy, but he knew and had faith that God would still deliver. Say, preacher, you're mentioning this. This is just one instance. Do you think this is the only time that God ever delivered David? Look back in your life, church. Has there only been one time that God has given you deliverance? No, man, no, sir. Do you think what I faced last week will be the last time I faced things in my life? No, ma'am, and no, sir. But you know what? You know what will help? Going into those persecutions and those afflictions, proving your faith in the living God. That even though it may come up against you, as we heard this morning, he'll have to flee. Why, preacher? He can't be around my God. He even went as far as asking me, said, "Am I a dog?" Begin to make a mockery. Church, this world, individually, this is individual. We'll try to make a mockery out of you and your walk with God. Well, am I a dog that you would come before me with staves? But the same as old David. He said, "This day," church, when that persecution comes, when that affliction comes, when that that's heaven you comes, you go before it with some proof of God in your life, that this day you'll be delivered into my hands, because God is able. More so, he's faithful. Preacher, you about done? I'm getting there. God wants us to understand, though, church, have to prove some things. We don't prove it at church either, church. We come here to get help, to worship him, to get strengthened. You know where most of our proving's done? In the world. At the job places, when they don't want us singing those songs, when they don't want to see us bowing and praying, thanking God for our food. Oh, when God troubles you, tells you just to kneel where you are and pray for those objects. They don't want to see us doing that. Why, preacher? Because that's us proving faith in our life. That's not works, church. That's us proving that we trust him enough that we'll know he'll answer it. It may not be when we think, but I'm persuaded that he's going to. Church, I've prayed for my sister. A little over 5 years. I'm not saying this to beat her down or nothing like that. But last week, Saturday, my week, I watched her bow. I know 5 years may not seem like a long time, and maybe it ain't to most people, but to me, church, that's a while. But I watched her bow before an almighty God, and she proved some faith in her life, and God saved her. God allowed her to prove it, the same as he did David, the same as he will you and I. And what did he do? He delivered her. Churches, there are a lot of calls. There is. There's now a cause, church, more than ever. But are we willing to prove some things in our life to see God's deliverance in those things? Church, I love it. I don't know how long it's been. Maybe short, maybe long. It don't matter. I'm on God's time. About time we quit concerning about what's going to happen after church and be more concerned about proving some things in here worshiping him. Do you think you're proving? Do you think I'm proving? In church I've done, I'm guilty more than anybody. Coming in here being more concerned about what's going to, when the preacher's going to hush or when the testifying's going to end, I've got things to do. Or maybe my belly starts crying, boy, I'm hungry. Look at how God has blessed just in the last little while. You want to see him blessed more? Let's prove some things. Preacher, it's hard when you're in a battle like I'm in. Do as David. Prove some things and there'll be deliverance. Church, I love you. I hope you don't think that was being harsh because it's not. That is in love that we couldn't even begin to understand. That God would love us enough to sit and say, preacher, that's awful weird to say. That's harsh. It's not, church. He loves us enough that he desires to see us prove some things. He loves us enough to tell us when we're not. Why, preacher? Because he desires. He desires to walk with us. He desires to conversate with us, to commune with us. Because he loves us. He desires to see us grow, church. I love you, church. Let's start proving some things. And if you ever get in a place where you think that it ain't worth going on, is there not a cause? Remember that, church. Not because I said it, but because God desires to see us keep going. I love you. Then you come on.
Man.